All right, so I have to say, I feel a little tricked into being here. I was told I was auditioning for a new reality show called The Masked Preacher, but then everybody started introducing me and saying my name, so that seems kind of pointless to hide my identity any longer. For those of you who don't know me, my name is Jason Polochak. I grew up as a part of this church back when it was over in the Village of Victor up on the hill, and I was a lot younger and had a lot less gray hair. Still pretty cute and charming, but I met my wife in that church building. She didn't know it when we met her, but I did, so it took me a couple years to convince her of that. So I'm a really good salesperson. If you meet her and meet me, you will totally get that. So she is awesome. She is super, super smart. She is hardworking. She is fabulous. She's hot. She doesn't like it when I say that, but it's true. So, and I mentioned it after all the other good stuff about her. So, no, she is amazing. We have two sons, Jake and Jonathan. They're crazy. I don't even know what to say about them. They are fun. They are goofy. They are weird. They love people and want to help people. So that's really cool. They're fabulous. We love them. Yeah, they're really cool. So John asked me to come and speak today if I would, and I was like, yeah, I would love to do that. And then he gave me the topic, which is always, always crazy, and he was like, can you speak on Friends? And I was like, I almost fell over, because usually he gives me like, hey, can you speak on Mother's Day and talk about wives submitting to your husbands? Thanks a lot. I'm going to Hawaii. And I'm like, what? So he was like, Friends, and I was like, yeah, I can do that. And he goes, and it's stuff you're thankful for about Friends. And I was like, this is the easiest term. I was waiting for something to come up. And he was like, and being like, and you have to do it in Old Testament Hebrew or something. You know, I was waiting for the challenge, but it never happened. There are lots of sermons that I've had to preach that I've been like, oh, I'm dreading talking about this. But Friends and being thankful, I'm like, I got this. This is awesome. So I'm really excited to be here today. I'm really excited to talk about Friends that I'm thankful for. I'm super psyched to see a lot of friends that I'm thankful for too. So a lot of friendly faces is very cool. So our scripture for today is gonna be John 15, 9 through 17. And it says this, as the Father has loved me, so I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for another, for one's friends. You are my friends if you do as I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. Think about that. God chose us. He wants to be our friend. Literally picked us. That's amazing. Like that, if there is one friend relationship that I am glad for above all other friend relationships in my life, it's that one. It's that God chose me to be his friend. I don't have COVID, by the way. Sorry. I feel like I need a shirt that says it's just a cold. Like we've been tested. We sent our house out to be tested. So it's like if you cough or something, like it's like you're dropping a hand grenade in public. So just wanted to put that out there. So because I'm very self-conscious about it. I'm like, oh, somebody's going to hear me sniffle and run out of the room. So and that's usually not why people run out of the room when I'm speaking. So but think about that. God chose us. God loves us. Romans 5, verse 8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. A friend who gave his life for us at our worst, in our darkest moments, when we were as far away from him as we could possibly be, he loved us enough to give his life for us. Matthew 28:20, he gives us a promise. This is the last thing he says to us as he's heading up to heaven. He says, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Think about that type of friendship. A friend who loves us, a friend who welcomes us when we maybe weren't so welcoming to him, a friend who laid his life down for us when we didn't deserve it, a friend who will never leave us, someone who's always going to be there, never turns his back on us, never lets us go. How can you not be thankful for a friend like that? I love media. I love videos because lots of times I think they show stuff in ways that are way smarter than what I will ever say. And so I have a video that I want to show now that kind of really shows this type of friend. So I like that video a lot, but I have two major issues with that video. One, Jesus wore a blue sash, not a purple sash. That's just total ridiculousness. I don't know where they got that from. Find any felt Jesus and you'll know that. And secondly, and more importantly, where were her friends? Where were the people in her life who lived like Jesus? That scripture that we read in John 15, right before that, Jesus is talking about us being a vine and being his fruit. And the last thing that he says in there in verse 17 is, this is my command, love each other. That's how we bear fruit. Where are the people that were supposed to be in her life loving her? Where were they? Why did they let it get to that point? Why weren't they friends? I am so thankful for friends who live like Jesus, friends who love each other. And I have a list of some of them. So I am thankful for John Walker as a friend. He used to drive me when I was the only kid in the youth group, and there were youth rallies. He would drive me out to Clarence. He would drive me to Syracuse, Liverpool, wherever it was, and he would drop me off. And he made sure that I got the opportunities to grow up in knowing Jesus, even though we didn't have a youth group here. That was cool. That meant a lot to me. At the time, it meant I get to hang out with my friends, but now that I look back on it, it means that I'm up here preaching because of those times that he drove me out there. He challenged me. He always called me to be better than what I was. And that hurts sometimes, and that was hard sometimes, but I am so thankful for that. I am thankful that he made me go to Mountain View, even when I didn't like Mountain View. By the way, I'm contractually obligated to always mention Mountain View anytime I preach. So if you don't know what Mountain View is a camp that we send kids to every summer, except this past summer, which was really, really sad. So hopefully 2021, we're doing camp again, senior high week. If you're looking for an opportunity to serve, I will be the dean there. So please reach out, and we would love to have you there to help us. But Mountain View is amazing. A lot of the people that I'm going to talk about that I'm thankful for, I met at Mountain View or have worked with at Mountain View and have been a part of Mountain View. So John made me go to Mountain View the first year that I went, and I loved it. I met a guy named Mike Bowers, who is an amazing guy. If you don't know Mike Bowers, I feel bad for you because Mike is amazing, and you should come to Senior High Week 2021 because Mike Bowers will hopefully be there. Mike, if you're watching this, it's an invite. But I met Mike at Mountain View, and he was awesome. He was this crazy, goofy guy who loved people like I've never seen anybody love people before. And he challenged us to love each other. And he was like a hero of mine. And one of the funny things that you get to do at Mountain View, I would never recommend this, but there was a night I was on staff. Mike had asked me to be on staff. I was 18 years old. And if you knew me when I was 18 years old, okay, if you know me when I'm 45 years old and you're like, ooh, they're putting him in charge of something, kind of scary. I like to do fun, crazy things that sometimes can go a little crazy because I was a youth minister for so many years. But a bunch of us who were great friends that we met at Mountain View, we decided we were just going to like wreak havoc one night on the camp. And Mike was the dean, and he had put me in charge of being there and being in charge of the dorm. And we all went out and we literally like unscrewed every door at the camp so that when people would open them, they would just fall. We did all kinds of, we cellophane wrapped a trailer that a bunch of our peers were staying in. And then we sat there with a bowl of popcorn waiting for them to wake up so that we could all laugh when they couldn't get out. But we did all this crazy stuff, and we messed with these guys who were staying in this cabin at Trail's End. And I didn't know the chaos that it was going to cause at the time. I was just 18 and having fun. And Mike taught me a great lesson that I'm so thankful for, and that is restored relationship, because he was upset. I could tell he was clearly upset with us. He didn't yell at us. He didn't scream at us. He didn't send us home, although I wished he would have, because he came up to me afterwards and he just looked at me and he said, JP, very disappointed. And I was like, ah! Like, you know, parents always do that to you and you're like, yes, I'm not getting grounded. You're just disappointed. I can live with that. Man, when Mike looked at me and said that, I was like, oh, just send me home or something, beat me or something, flog me at the flagpole. But the relationship was restored. You know, he showed me that even though I disappointed him, even though I let him down, that, you know, that relationship could be restored. And he still lets me work at camp and hang out with him. And when I was going through a really hard time in life, he was the first guy who called me. Just wanted to see how I was doing. Just wanted to make sure I was okay. Wanted to take me to a Sabres game, which was fun. I have some great photos of that game. I'm also grateful for his friend who gave him the Sabres tickets. I don't know him, but I'm very thankful for him. But it's that relationship that, you know, even though Mike's, you know, over in Buffalo, that he heard that I was going through something and he reached out. I am grateful for Darren Brown and Dan and Joni Jacobs, two people who did ministry in Syracuse. They helped me out. They worked at camp with me. They taught me what it's like to be a Christian, what it's like to love. And they helped my wife come to love Jesus. And if they hadn't done that, I would have never met her and my life would be very sad. I am thankful for Linda Walker for nachos. No, seriously, I don't know if you know this. So I grew up and the Walkers would let me come over and hang out at their house. Once again, I was goofy and weird. So thank you guys for letting me do that. And Linda made these nachos. And like when you go out to a restaurant and you get nachos, it's like a plate of chips and they're loaded with like 800,000 different things. And Linda made these nachos and they were just cheese and they had one jalapeno in the center of them. And I was like, these are good. And I always thought Linda Walker nachos. And I'm a huge foodie. I watch the Food Network all the time. My wife makes me shut it off so that we can watch something other than the Food Network. And they were doing an episode about nachos and I had always called them Linda Walker nachos, but apparently the guy who actually invented nachos, that's like the real nacho recipe, is just the cheese and one jalapeno. I think Linda Walker really invented nachos. But more than her nachos, she gave us her kitchen and dining room so that we could come and sit and hang out, and invited my wife and a couple of her friends from college. And we got to build a relationship because Linda was willing to provide us a place to meet and make us delicious nachos. I am thankful for Frump. Some of you may know him as Eric Fry. We grew up together. We were troublemakers. We were, we had a lot of fun and we have been just great, great friends for so long. And just a guy who influences my kids, who influences me, who's always there whenever I need him, no matter what. We grew up here. Like I said, we didn't have a youth group, but that kind of changed with Mark and Sandy Smith, two people who I am super grateful for because they were willing to ride to Tennessee in a car with me. I don't know why they would do that, but actually, I do know why. Because they live like Jesus, because they love people like Jesus. And they took me to CIY, which was where I decided that I should probably do youth ministry and that would be a good thing. I am super grateful for them. We had so many great memories. We had lunch with Rich Mullins. How many people get to say that? If you don't know who Rich Mullins is, you should totally Google him and listen to his music. He's amazing. We got to have lunch with him one day. That's just crazy. All because they were willing to take a week off of work and drive us down. And they spent a lot of time with us and let us hang out at their house and showed us what Jesus looked like and how he loved us. I am thankful for a friend like Tom Boje, who gave me such inspiration when stuff was going really hard and stuff was hard. Youth ministry, if you do youth ministry, if you ever work with kids, if you have kids, kids are hard. They are not easy. And boy, I will tell you, youth ministry is one of those things that it's tough because we plant a lot of seeds and we don't always get to see them grow. We don't know what it's going to look like. And there's a lot more frustration than there is actual joy in doing youth ministry. And it's hard. And we did an overnighter. Can't call them lock-ins because that implies bad things. But we did an overnighter where we were not celebrating homelessness, but making people aware of homelessness. And so we had boxes set up out here and we slept in boxes. Cardboard boxes. We Went and collected money for the homeless. We went over to the Catholic Church, and we actually packed meals with their youth group to give out. And so it's just, it's tough. Like I said, kids are tough. Kids are hard. And it was just, it was a really tough, draining night. You know, I had been up all night, and I was sitting with Tom Bojay. We had adults who were willing to come and hang out and supervise the parking lot just to make sure that nobody left and ran away. And Tom was one of those guys, and he was sitting out there, and I was like, oh, Tom's here. I can go to bed. Yes, I'm going to get a couple hours of sleep. And I was just getting ready to get up. Tom and I were sitting by the fire, and he said, boy, I'm really glad you're here. He goes, I don't know anything about fires and how to keep them going. And I was like, I guess I'm not going to bed. And I was really discouraged and sad because I really, really wanted to get some sleep. But I got to sit out there and talk to Tom and talk about his family and kids and life. And it was just one of the, it was one of the best conversations when I needed a really good conversation with a good friend. And that is a great night. That is a night that I will always remember. I am thankful for a friend like Scott Velasquez. Once again, if you don't know him, great guy, you should meet him. Hopefully I'm gonna try to get him at camp as well. Scott, if you're watching. He is awesome. We did youth ministry here for a long time together. And we had a lot of fun, and we had a really good youth ministry, and we got to change a lot of lives together. We got to tear this stage down, but it was much bigger. Like there's really, I don't know where they hide them now, but there's really big pieces of this stage that you can get, and you can make it go way out and way out that way. And we would set that up and tear that thing down like 8,000 times a week, it felt like. And some of my best memories are just those conversations we would have while we were talking about that, just talking about life, talking about how we could be better husbands, better fathers, how we can influence more kids. He is a guy that we don't get to talk as much as we used to. He's in Maryland now doing great things. But it is awesome every time I get to talk to him that we just pick up right where we left off. And if I needed anything or he needed anything, I am so thankful that I could pick up a phone and he would be here or I would be there. Grateful for friends like that. I am grateful for a friend, Greg Campbell. This is something I recommend everybody does because COVID has really made me painfully aware of how much I miss people. So, and you can take road trips. Road trips are amazing. If you get to take a road trip with someone, it's just good because you have them captive in a car for a long time and you get to say whatever you want and you can talk about whatever you want and you can talk about life and real stuff. And they can't really go anywhere because what are they gonna do, jump out? So take a road trip with somebody. Greg and I, back in the days before cell phones, and by the way, if you're gonna do this road trip, I recommend that you leave your credit cards at home, take about $25 in cash, don't check your fuel gauges, and remember that if you're going to New York City, just stay on 90. Some of you have been to New York City, clearly. But we were like 18, there were no cell phones back then. We had no money, but our friend Scott Velasquez was getting ordained in Long Island, and we were like, hey, we should totally go to this. And so we decided, yeah, hey, we gotta do a couple things before we go, but we're gonna leave early Saturday and go to his ordination. No phones, no money. Just wanted to go be with our friend and have a moment. And we drove. And we were like, do you know how to get to New York City? I'm like, yeah, I think you just stay on 90. It takes you right to New York City. Boston. So we drove and we were driving and it's a great story. We ran out of gas on the Throgs Next Bridge. We met a guy named Bruno. I thought I was gonna die and be kidnapped and killed in New York City. We were windblown and rugged and we got to the ordination and it was over. And Scott met us and said, nice you guys to show up. We almost killed Scott then, and I would not have been able to talk about him in such glowing light, but take a road trip with a friend, hang out with a friend, have a moment. There are so many more people that I want to talk about. Sam Huff, Ben and Stacy Hayes, Matt and Katie Crawford. Once again, people I met from Mountain View. Send your kids to Mountain View because they will someday have a list of people they are thankful for, and a lot of them will be from Mountain View. And it's not just good times. It's not just the good times that I'm thankful for. It's the hard moments. It's the moments that we just got to be there. A lady sent her son to the store, and she was getting concerned because he wasn't back, and it had taken him a long time. And he finally came back, and she said, where were you? And he said, oh, well, I ran into a little boy whose bike broke. And the mother looked at him and said, I didn't know you knew anything about bikes. And he said, I didn't. I just sat there and cried with him. And I'm so thankful for those moments with so many of these people on these lists where we were just there. We were just there for each other. And there didn't need to be words. There didn't need to be action. Just being there. Being in that moment with them. Those moments are life-changing. I would be totally remiss if I did not mention my wife on this list, because I am so thankful for her. I'd like to do dumb things. She does not like it when I do dumb things. She does not like to do dumb things. And that has helped me a lot in life, that she doesn't like to do those or doesn't like when I do those. But I have done dumb things in the past 23 years, almost 24 years that we've been married. I have done dumb things, and the grace, forgiveness, and mercy that she shows me every day is phenomenal. I try to be more like her and show that to people. I still have a long way to go, but I try. And the example that she is to other people is just amazing. She is awesome. You should get to know her. She's really cool. But I'm keeping her. So she is just, she's fabulous. And I would be totally remiss if I did not mention how thankful I am for her. She is great. Although she traumatized me last night. So this is kind of a funny story. And she'll get mad at me probably. But this is where forgiveness comes in. So, and I'm thankful for that. So we've been married for 23 and a half years. And we were at Panera last night getting dinner. And she just out of nowhere says, "Hey, there's a John I've been thinking about in Buffalo." And I was like, "What? What did I do? Like, who's John? And why are you thinking about it?" But really, she said, "There's a job I've been thinking about in Buffalo." I was like, "What stupid thing did I really do?" And I was like, you know, really trying to go through the Rolodex of dumb things I've done. But I am just so grateful for her. She balances me out, and yeah, I could not imagine doing life with anyone other than her. And there are so many more people that I could sit here and go on and on and on about how grateful I am for them. And it's because they live like Jesus. It's not that they give me great things. It's not that they bring me great gifts, although they do sometimes. It's not that they do nice things for me. It's not that they, you know, give me lots of money or have lots of nice things that they let me use or anything like that. It's that they live like Jesus, and they show love in everything they do. They love people and live like Jesus. John 15:17, this is my command. Love each other. I pray that all of you are able to find people in your lives who live that command, who love like Jesus, who love each other, who live like him, and show everyone their mercy and love. Let's pray. God, I am so thankful for friends. I am so thankful for the people that you put in my life who have shown me love, who have shown me forgiveness, who have shown me mercy, who have been there when I hurt, who have been there when I've been crushed, who've picked me back up. I'm thankful for the friends who tore me down when I needed to be torn down, the friends who called me out, the friends who got in my face when I was doing stupid things, the friends who loved me through all those dumb things, the friends who supported me, encouraged me, and built me back up. I'm thankful for the moments. I'm thankful for the fun times, the hard times, just the times that we got to be there, that we get to support each other. God, I pray that you help all of us appreciate that. Help all of us to have a heart that is thankful, a heart that loves people like you loved us. I pray for eyes that see people like you see them. I pray that we show everyone that we are your followers by our actions, that they see our fruit, that we show the love of Jesus to a world that needs love. And that's not always fun. Sometimes we just need to sit there and cry with them. And I pray that you give us the strength to be there, to be in that moment, and to sit and cry. And then to give thanks when stuff changes. God, I pray that you show us the moments and give us the strength to accept them and be in them. I pray that in your son's name. Amen.